Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show.
It is. Living it up, living it up, oh yeah. Friday night. Thank you for being here. I don't know if all 11 listeners are here yet, but I guess they'll let me know when they're here. It's a small but loving group of people that gather here from 7 to 9 weeknights on the WBT. If you would like to join the program, call 704-570-1110. Also text that at, everybody say it with me now, the WBT text line, driven by Liberty Buick GMC. I was coming in to the big dangerous city from the Lake Norman area, and I'm looking at all the people on the sidewalks. Because the radio station is in the heart of the big dangerous city, and I see a bunch of people wearing gear from Appalachian State University, and I think to myself, "What a wonderful world!" That is an example of my musical ADD that I talk about. That was it. I couldn't come up with one off the top of my head. Then it just hits me while I'm talking. So I say to myself, you see, I say something that sparks a lyric in a song. I have to sing the song. Boom, there it is. I need help, ladies and gentlemen. I need help. So I say, hey, there must be some sort of an app activity going on down here. Because, you know, I could have been a detective figuring out stuff like that. And, what is it? Is it App playing UNC Charlotte tonight in the football?
Yeah, Duke's Mayo Classic. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Over at Erickson Stadium.
Oh, yeah. Good Erickson.
You ain't heard that in a long time, have you? Is Erickson still a company? When I moved to Charlotte, I mean, Erickson was the biggest thing. Other than Lowe's, Erickson was the biggest thing in Charlotte as far as businesses.
I haven't heard about them in a long time. Was that like a cell phone company or something?
Yeah, communications company.
Okay.
So I don't know if they got bought by another one or something, but yeah, it was called Erickson Stadium. Erickson was, you know, all over the place. Everybody trying to get in a relationship with Erickson when I first moved here. But I digress. So I'm thinking, hey, got a lot going on here. The big dangerous city. I hope those children from Boone know what they're doing walking around here, knowing that it's not safe. It's not safe at all. I mean, you know, you get those mountain folk down here and they don't know. Now, I'm not saying they're going to be shocked by any of the liberalism crawling all over Charlotte, because they got plenty of that in Boone. Trust me. There are probably more Subarus per capita in Boone, North Carolina, than there are anywhere else in the world. I would bet a lot of money on that. So it's not the liberalism that's going to scare them. It's the criminals. The criminimanals, as the Ice Cube would say. But I do like UNC Charlotte's uniforms, though. If it's got less of the gold on it, you know, I like the green and the white.
Yeah.
But that gold, but I get it, though. You got to have some gold in it because you're 49ers.
Yeah.
Digging for gold. I get that.
Yeah, they're all white uniforms look pretty decent.
Yeah.
Got a white helmet. Mm-hmm. All white. Yeah.
Yeah. And that coach of theirs is a snappy dresser, isn't he? Woo! Has he worn a full shirt the whole time he's been the coach over there?
I don't
think. Have you ever seen him?
I seen him one time. My son was trying to get recruited over there, so yeah.
He got the sides cut out of his shirt. I mean, he just homemade sleeveless tees, and he's just looking like he's putting in the work, as the kids say. So we still have a lot of serious stuff going on, and I know Fridays I'm usually, pretty silly with pretty much the whole show, but this whole week, especially since the shooting in Minneapolis, hasn't felt so silly. Now we got a case going on in Cabarrus County that I'm going to have to discuss. That's not a lighthearted story at all. I don't know if I was cut out for this. I don't know if I was cut out to just be talking about serious things all the time. But you go where the stories take you. And I'm not saying the whole show tonight is going to be nothing but tearjerker kind of emotional stuff, because I believe that, the 11 listeners to this show, and trust me, I don't think I'm exaggerating when I say there are only 11 people listening to this show. I really don't believe there are. If there are more than that, it's not maybe two more. They're not official, so that doesn't count. So I'm hoping that if I can get enough people listening to this show, that WBT might decide that I'm worth, being a regular employee and pay me. And I realize that's a long way away. It takes a long time to build an audience. But if you could tell your friends, even all you people that have so much fun hating me, that text in here every night and insult me and all of that, I don't mind if you go get some of your lunatic liberal friends and have them listen and do the same thing. As long as they're listening, I'm okay with it. As long as I can show the WBT high-ups, hey, look, I'm building an audience here, then they may, float me a 20 every now and then. Just to get me through the week. So I need you to get out there and start recruiting for me. You tell a friend, then hopefully they'll tell a friend, and then so forth and so on. And look, I'm not saying that if you are one of the very, very few people that actually likes listening to this show, I'm not saying I want to build an audience here. So then you could go, well, we helped him build an audience, and then he just ran off and left us and went to another town or something. No, I'm not looking to do that. I'm looking to build an audience and then just end up, being welcomed by WBT, with a couple of dollars every week or every 2 weeks. That's all. I'm a simple man. Simple kind of man. There it is again. All right. So we're going to get into this local story about the school teacher from Cabarrus County, and break that down. And to be honest with you, I don't know all of the details of it. I just had to text Anna Erickson and have her give me a couple of points on it and send me the full context and all of that. And she's such a doll. She did it. Love her. So I'm going to pour through it during the break. And then when we get back from the break, I'll have all the details ready to give to you. Hang on.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show is coming up.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
Radio, podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
All right, before we get into this this story from Cabarrus County, I just need to send a message out to all of the peoples who have been sending me messages about, you know, trying to talk trash about Clemson beating LSU, because LSU is my team. And a lot of the Clemson people are trying to engage me in a back and forth of trash talking. Now, first of all, I'm not a trash talker. Because trash talking can end up making you look like a fool. And I definitely don't trash talk before a game. No matter who the opponent is. Because anybody can beat anybody at some time or another. So I reserve the trash talking. Secondly, I, as a diehard LSU fan, don't feel like that I have the room to be trash talking anyway. Because I really don't think that LSU is going to prevail in this game. So it's hard to get somebody to talk trash who is, you know, kind of in agreement with you, not in agreement of you talking down about my team, but that your team is probably going to win. So you see, it's to be an LSU fan, especially for the past 5 years, you have to understand that the only real excitement that you have watching the team is in the first game, the beginning of the first game, because at the end of the first game for LSU every season, it's having to say, well, it's next year. Maybe we can make it to a good bowl. Because when you lose the first game, when you're the caliber of team or program that LSU is, you know that the chances of winning the national championship are pretty much gone. Now, with Clemson, it's different. If LSU beat Clemson, then Clemson would still have a great shot at running the table for the rest of the season because they play in the ACC. And the ACC is not anywhere close to as competitive as the SEC, where LSU plays. So I like Coach Dabo. I really do. I like him. And he puts together a great team every year. Well, in the ACC, that's just, I mean, if you can get it to where it's kind of like having, you know, keeping one vehicle until it's paid off. So then from that point on, you'll always have a big down payment to go on a new car. He just gets the reputation and all of that is such a good coach. He'll get the team together and, you know, every year he's probably going to be, chances are, the best in the ACC because the ACC is weak, very weak, except for Clemson. So he's brilliant to be the highest paid, work himself into a position to be the highest paid coach while he's in the easy ACC conference, you know, the Atlantic Coast Conference. That's brilliant. Brilliant. But LSU has to play week in and week out teams like Alabama and Ole Miss and all of the other great, you know, Texas, they're in the SEC, all of these Florida types of teams. So, yeah, I get one, well, maybe one half of exciting football for the season. And since LSU's coach, Brian Kelly, is addicted to losing the first game every season, then pretty much the rest of the season for me is, okay, well, we've already lost it. Oh, Georgia is another one that's in the I'm telling you, all of the best, toughest teams are in the SEC, and everybody knows it. So that's why I get, you know, where I'm not going to be talking trash about Clemson, because our LSU season could be over, like I said, by halftime of the game Saturday night. So there. So if you Clemson fans want to talk to me about anything else, it's great. But if you're trying to just get me to trash talk with you, I'm not going to do that. I don't believe in it. Okay. You know why? Because I'm a better person. That's why. I know more about the game, the ins and outs of the game, and that's why I don't talk trash. That's for, you know, that's for the fans that don't really know the game that well. The amateurs, if you will. Whereas I kind of, you know, I'm pretty much on coach status. But again, I'm not talking trash. I don't do that. All right, so here's the story that we were talking about. A Cabarrus County teacher is facing child sex charges after he was arrested Thursday. The teacher, that was yesterday. The teacher, 39-year-old John Calabrese, worked at Northwest Cabarrus High School, according to an August 28th booking report from the Cabarrus County Sheriff's Office. Cabarrus County Schools said it was, quote unquote, aware of the situation involving Calabrese, and that he was immediately suspended, and that they are fully cooperating with law enforcement. Says that an arrest warrant alleged that that he unlawfully, willfully, and feloniously did engage in sex with a 10-year-old child. He was subsequently charged with indecent liberties with a child and statutory sex offense with a child by an adult. The sheriff's office said it began investigating after it received a tip from the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force. Court records showed that a magistrate initially gave him a $1 million bond, but revoked it shortly after. Then, during a Friday morning court appearance, his bond was reset at $1.75 million. Okay. Now, here's the thing. One of the beautiful things about our country is charges don't equal guilty. You still have your day in court, and the government has to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that you committed these crimes. And I am a firm believer in innocent until proven guilty. Without it, we don't have a civil society that is governed by law. Again, mob rule is when you would just take the public's opinion as to whether somebody is guilty or not and go with it. If the public says guilty, then they would be taken out and hanged or whatever. We don't have that. That's mob rule. That is a true democracy, is what that is. Now, whether it is this man or anybody else that is proven guilty of doing something like this, and then listen, because I want you to comment on this. I really want to know your opinions on it, because I'm going to give you mine. If someone is guilty of doing crimes, committing crimes such as this, I believe they should be executed. I think this is a crime that is heinous enough that the offenders, the criminals, should be executed. When you take an innocent child and you do things like this, I don't see how you should deserve to continue living among other people. How you deserve, how the world, and especially this country, wouldn't be better off with you not in it. But again, I am not convicting this man right here on the radio. And if he's been falsely accused of something, that is so horrible. So horrible. But as long as it is in the news, I felt this is something we could have a discussion about tonight. So what are your thoughts? 704-570-1110. Call or text to that number. We'll find out what you got to say coming up next.
The TJ Richey Show.
Hear the TJ Richey Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjrichey.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjrichey.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjrichey.com.
Identifying liberalism and mocking it relentlessly. This is the TJ Richey Show. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Hey. It's Friday. I'm going to tell you something. This is the first Labor Day weekend, that my vacation didn't start at 10 o'clock on Friday morning. Because I'm coming up in here like an idiot, volunteering for this dumb excrement. Oh. Why do I have to keep my word about things? Why do I have to be so conscientious? I would already been halfway to somewhere by now. I would be in somewhere else right now if I would have left at 10 o'clock this morning, be able to go for a long weekend to the beach or something. But no. I got to make the worst business deal in the history of radio. Say, yeah, I'll just completely change my life and start working at night. And you don't have to even pay me. What am I doing? Good Lord, I'm an idiot. Stuck in this little room with these two losers. I'm kidding, of course. About there being losers, not the other part. All right. So my opinion is, if somebody is found guilty beyond a reasonable doubt of sexually abusing children, they should be executed and moved through the court system quickly, get an appeal, whatever they want to do. But yeah, I believe they should be executed. Then we have this text on the WBT text line. I do not believe that child molesters, sex offenders can be rehabilitated. They will continue to commit offenses as long as they remain free. Okay. But it doesn't say anything about agreeing or disagreeing with executing them. Let's see. Hey, Kim, you have an opinion on this?
Yeah, I don't think they should be put to death. I think they should have to work really hard labor for mm-hmm. the rest of their life and no amenities.
Yeah.
Nothing like TV, anything like that. They're cut off from everything. And just work as hard as they can. And if there's any money or whatever, it all goes to the victim or the family.
Yeah.
But I think it's getting out too easy when we kill them.
Well, but you look at it like, then you got to feed them every day, 3 squares a day or whatever. And then they still just being alive. Yeah, just being alive, though, they can read and do things like that that they may find enjoyment.
No, they don't read.
But
I wouldn't give them anything like that. They would just have to.
You want them in. You would like them to be in the dungeon, like in biblical times. That's cool.
Well, I would put them to work.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
They would be self sufficient, but they don't read. They don't get TV. Yeah. They don't talk to anybody. They don't see anybody.
I got it.
The friends and family, because they're cut off.
Sure. All right. Cool. That's a good one,
Kim. Think about it every day.
Thank you very much. That's a good one. Cool. All right. See, I mean, we disagreed, but I wasn't arguing with her. That'd be hard, too. That'd be hard on her. But you see, if they're alive, even though they don't have any amenities and they're doing hard labor and all that, they can still have a nice thought from time to time. I don't even want them to have that. Here's a text from my sweet neighbor. It says, still one of the 11. Keep it up, TJ Ritchie. Thank you, Miss Cheryl. My wife must have walked down the street and had her do that. Hey, will you text in and make it seem like you like listening to the show? Let's see. Okay, now we're getting a lot of people who are now sending in the torturous activities that should happen to people who harm children. And I get it. And I understand where you're coming from, but I mean, we could really go off the deep end, you know, in that discussion. So I don't want to get fired from my free job, but I hear you. Or as the kids say, I feel you on that. But there is, I don't necessarily think that when they are given the death penalty, that they should go into solitary confinement or be on that same setup of death row. I do think that there needs to be a period of having to look over your shoulder and be scared because of what they did to their victims and how their victims felt. And again, I want to reiterate, and this upsets a lot of conservatives sometimes when I say this, and I'm so adamant about it. Innocent until proven guilty. If you're thinking, and I'm not even, haven't been specifically talking about the case in Cabarrus County, but if you're hearing this and you think that I'm saying that this guy should automatically be put to death who is accused of these crimes, I'm not. I believe in the court system when it comes to this kind of stuff. Now, a lot of times I think the court system is corrupt, you know, like federal judges appointed by Democrats a lot of times, but this is a different story. Now, and that's why I've been saying when proven guilty, this is what I think should happen. So don't misconstrue what I'm saying is that I'm talking about this situation with the teacher in Cabarrus County per se. But it doesn't say anything about the accused teacher in this story that I had as to his family situation. You know, does he have a family that's also being affected by this? I mean, he was an award-winning teacher. When he was a new teacher, he won Beginning Teacher of the Year. He really was in Northwest Cabarrus. First year, he was Beginning Teacher of the Year. But that Crimes Against Children Task Force, those task forces in police departments are just incredible. The stuff that they can do and how smart they are with tracking down this kind of thing. Lonnie Ray, you know that they have dogs that are trained to sniff out thumb drives and computers and things that could be hidden in walls or in addicts and that kind of thing.
Never heard of that.
Yeah. I hate to say that on the radio because I don't want to give them any tips, but surely they know that exists. Now, if that's the business they're in.
Wow.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing?
I'm definitely going to look into that.
I mean, to have a, because, you know, if they're, you know, putting images and, you know, stuff, pictures that they've taken or that they've gotten from the internet and they put them on these little thumb drives and stuff. Yeah. Dogs can sniff it out just like they can drugs or anything like that. It's what they're trained to do.
That's a good thing, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think we need to discuss the Minnesota shooter situation a little bit. Just there's some things that have developed today that I would like to comment on and give you my take. And hopefully you will take my take and run with it. So that's coming up next.
It's TJ Ritchie. Late, live, and local. It's the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Okay. The Dems being Dems with the story of the horrific shooting in Minneapolis this week. Transgender, trans-identifying guy shot through the church window at a Catholic school, and the kids were starting the day with Mass. He was obviously mentally disturbed. They uncovered a suicide note that was different than all of the things that we had in his quote-unquote manifesto the first day. In his suicide note, he apologized to his family, and he said things like, I don't want to be trans anymore. I don't want to be a girl anymore. I hate that I was brainwashed by that. He even said that the only thing left that reminds him or makes him seem like a girl is his long hair. And he wants to cut it off, but he doesn't want to. He thought that might tip him off to the police or something, that he was acting strangely before, you know, he could go and commit these murders and all that he was so desirous of doing. So the Democrats automatically say that, you know, it's gun. We need gun control. We need gun control. We need gun control. And we've been over this, and it's because they don't ever want to admit that gender identity disorder is a mental illness. And instead of coddling it and pandering to it, it needs to be treated. But instead, they've gone the other way, where they have not only affirmed everybody's opinion that they may need to change sexes, or not even change sexes, to just say, I woke up this morning and I'm a woman. And then they will say that people who don't affirm your gender are evil. That's basically violence. It's basically killing you. They want you to kill yourself. They, you know, Democrats have just taken this issue and they have poisoned the minds of these already mentally ill people. And it is definitely now that just the violence that comes from that needs to be addressed. Democrats don't want that. So they run out in front of cameras and they talk about, it's Trump's fault. It's conservatives' fault. We need gun control, all of that. So this is, This is a woman on the social medias who is explaining why this, as well as other violent acts from transgender identifying people, is the fault of conservatives. Listen.
Yeah, I have a couple of thoughts on the Minnesota shooting. First of all, 99% of the time, the perpetrators of these heinous acts of violence are white. So let's just ruminate on that for a minute. Second of all, conservative, cisgender, straight, homophobic, transphobic people, before you go and say, oh, trans people are crazy, they're committing all of these acts of violence, they're committing all of these crimes, understand that you still fulfill a role in that. Understand that if a trans person is to commit an act of violence such as this, maybe there were mental health issues underlying that if you all had just allowed them to express themselves the way they identify, we could have prevented the violent act from occurring in the first place. Just something to f-ing consider.
Okay. Now, first of all, I don't know anything about this woman, except she is part of the group of Americans that make my skin crawl the most, I think, and that's the liberal white women. And I'm pretty sure that if we were to do some digging into her situation, she does not have a man, because I don't know of any man who is a weak enough, desperate enough person to live with that all the time. That voice, that smugness, and too stupid to realize that she doesn't, the last thing she needs to be is smug. So basically what this woman is saying is that because we as conservatives don't pander to and coddle people who want to change their sex, we don't affirm them immediately, and we want to help them get past that mental hang-up, that mental issue, then we are the ones causing all the violence. You see, that just shows that she is just a mental gnome, because it is her side that brings forth all the rhetoric that tells people, if somebody disagrees with you, no matter how out of the norm you are acting, if they disagree with you, then they are killing you. And if somebody doesn't speak up for you, even if they don't get into it at all, they stay out of the argument, but they don't speak up for you, silence is violence. So they might as well just be inviting people to attack you, because their silence is violence. And you know, that's part of that sloganeering that the communists do, because it can stick in the heads of weak-minded people. So you take somebody like this shooter in Minneapolis, and he's been poisoned every day by the left telling him, these people are bad. Trump's bad. Elon Musk is bad. They're evil. They want you to die. They want you to kill yourself. They want you to do that, da, 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 da. That's not the problem in this woman's feeble mind. We are the problem, because we try to make sure that our society accepts reality and doesn't step off into a world where we're catering to something that is dangerous for the person and for society. And then you have somebody who I don't even know. I mean, I think that Rosie O'Donnell at this point needs to be institutionalized. I mean, listen to this clip.
So about the Minnesota shooting, what do you know? It was a white guy, Republican, MAGA person. What do you know? White supremacist.
There you go. What is she talking about? I commented last night that this was a case that was different than most cases when it comes to this stuff, because we knew and the news reported the truth about this guy quickly. We didn't even have to go through the stage that we normally do where the media comes out and tries to automatically make people think that the perpetrator was a conservative or a Trump supporter or anything like that. We knew from the beginning. They were showing the pictures of his guns and his ammunition that had kill Trump written on it. And this was for the kids and all of this stuff. He, you know, and his writings were racist, anti-Semitic, you know, pro-Palestine. What in the world is this lunatic watching and reading? I mean, she really needs some help, y'all. And I don't know if they have the types of mental health professionals there where she's living in Ireland that could treat her as extensively as she needs to be treated up in the head. Blows my mind. And then she is still not called out by other people on the left. If there was a celebrity who was a right-wing nut that was making the rest of us look bad, we would be out denouncing them. Hey, don't judge us by that lunatic. We don't believe what she's saying. But none of them on the left has done that about Rosie. And she's a maniac. I mean, they've really lost it on the left. And nobody is allowed to speak about reality on their side, or they'll get ostracized. All right, hang on. We got more coming up next.
More of the TJ Ritchie Show.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcast, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT proudly presents America's Coolest Conservative. Well, proudly could be stretching it a bit. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show.
Yes, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. And side note, thank you, Lonnie Ray, for turning on my microphone for me. Because I'd have been talking into it with nothing happening. Or did I do that?
No, that was me.
You did it. Okay.
Just doing my job, man.
All right. I'm sitting here reading an article, trying to figure out how much money you bet on that game down the street. you know what? When you're old and cranky the way I am, and George, you wouldn't know anything about this because you're not cranky like I am. You're old, but you're not cranky.
Most of the time.
Yeah. When I saw all the peoples walking to the app and UNC Charlotte game at Bank of America Stadium, I did this. I went, damn, I hope that game's not letting out when I'm getting home, trying to get home. I started looking, okay, what time does it start? All right, well, they'll still be going by the time I leave. That's all I'm worried about. I'm worried about getting in my truck, eating my little PhD weight loss approved protein bar, and getting to the high, strapping on my CPAP mask, going to bed. I'm going to sit mad because I work a night job now and couldn't start the Labor Day weekend at 10 o'clock on a Friday morning. And do these people that run this station appreciate my efforts? No. Not one damn bit. They probably laugh every day. The management of this radio station probably gets all the corporate people on a conference call or a Zoom kind of deal and laugh at the deal they've got with me. He's still doing it. Toasting each other. He's, what a moron. I can't believe it. Can't believe he's doing it. So there is a situation that is not really political, but I just thought the article was interesting. It is about a couple that they have interviewed here in the New York Post. And the woman in the article's name is Fernanda Fabian. Exotic looking lady, which you know I love. I love the exotic ladies. And she has revealed that she and her boyfriend, Michael, why don't you run tell your little boyfriend, Michael, that they have an agreement where she is allowed to go out and date other people while he stays at home. The couple agreed on this eye-raising setup early on in their relationship, and it seems to work for them, despite some jealous feelings in the beginning. So she said that he was jealous at first, but then he got over it, and he's okay now. She said, this is a quote, "When I started having feelings for other people at first, I felt like I was doing something wrong." Hello? You are doing something wrong. "These didn't impact how I felt about Michael. If anything, I became more appreciative of him. Now I only feel guilty if I feel like I've compromised my relationship for someone else." She doesn't explain what that means or what she means by that. She said, "It's taken time for the two of them to feel comfortable with their openness. He doesn't experience jealousy anymore because he feels secure in our connection." She also explained how she makes it a point to show her love and gratitude for her boyfriend. "Even though he doesn't ask for it, I constantly express my love and appreciation for him, and I always try to put our relationship first." Okay. Here's what she does to make things better. What she's really trying to put the relationship first, this is how she does it. "Whenever I go on a date now, we don't talk about it unless I'm struggling with something and need his support." I guess that would mean, so I went out on a date with this guy. He acted like he really liked me. We did it on the first date, and now he's ghosted me. "Michael, my boyfriend, help me through this. I don't understand." Then the reporter asked if she would be okay if Michael started stepping out the same way she does. She goes, "A part of me wants him to have that experience because I know how fulfilling it can be and in some ways even addictive to our relationship. I'm pretty sure I would experience some jealousy, though. But those feelings would eventually go, just like they did with him." Now, here is one thing that we probably can assume about Michael. We can probably assume that Michael is ugly. And let's see, what is her exotic sounding name? Fernanda. Okay. Fernanda probably looks way better than any good woman that he thinks he could find. Okay. So I'm not saying he couldn't find a good woman that is still very attractive. I'm saying that he probably feels like he would never, ever be able to get a woman who is good to him and doesn't want to go give it up all over town with anybody that comes and asks her, who would be as attractive as Fernanda. This is a weak man, and there is no way he doesn't have a problem with what she's doing. But he's stupid enough to keep going along with it. And it's hard to feel sorry for somebody like that. Isn't it? You know, you get a weak, weak man that just sits around and takes stuff just because, you know, he's insecure. But this is another thing that happens where, first of all, they're not married. And it doesn't say anything about them having kids, which is a bit of good news here. But I guarantee you, he's just a hapless, weak, whipped man. Now, if he wanted her to stop and wanted them to have a normal relationship where they're, you know, true to each other, all he's got to do is get one date or maybe two dates with a woman who is good looking. If he can get a date with one woman that looks close to as good as his girlfriend does, that all would stop. Because she would be, you know, she's questioning. I probably would be jealous at first. If he comes in with a hot one, he went out, he had a good time, and they're going to see each other again, and he sits and asks her, what do you think about this? Louisa said, blah, 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 blah. What do you think? She's not giving him any advice and being supportive about that. No way. See, this is why I should be a counselor. I tell it like it is. Even more than Dr. Phil does. Can you remember Oprah when she and Dr. Phil were tight when she was giving him, you know, his start in television and all that? She'd say he tells it like a T.I. is. I don't know that they're friends anymore because Dr. Phil's been gone kind of outspoken conservative. Oprah doesn't like that. But yeah, that's all he's got to do. Turn the tables. If you turn the tables in a relationship, you'll get a lot of good results. No other therapist is going to tell you that, just me. I'm the only one. Other therapists would probably tell you some psycho babble like turning the tables does nothing but harm the relationship. Two wrongs don't make a right. But what do they know? Not as much as I do. That's what. That's why whenever there's an ugly, like if you got a couple and one of them's ugly and the other one's really good looking, if the ugly one doesn't have a lot of money and power, then that imbalance in the relationship has to come from somewhere, right? So with this relationship, she gets to go out and lay up with every man that, you know, gives her the come hither look. And then gets to go home to him, and he's got dinner cooked and whatever else. So there you go. Turn the tables on her, even if you have to get a professional, if you know what I'm saying, to pretend like you like each other and she's hot. That'll bring your girlfriend around to the right way of thinking. Trust me on that, Michael. Hang on, more coming up.
The DJ Richie Show. He's radio royalty in the Carolinas and Queen Charlotte's sweetest prince. It's TJ Richie on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Well, you can call 704-570-1110. Speak the old-fashioned way, or you can text the WBT text line driven by Liberty Buick GMC. And this is sad news, and I kind of feel sorry for President Trump on this one. Kim Kardashian has come out and criticized him and saying that his ICE raids and immigration policy is wrong. after he went out of his way to welcome Kim Kardashian into the White House and worked with her on getting some criminals out of jail and all of that kind of stuff, when she's running around there, you know, pretending to be, you know, a five-star lawyer. I mean, she went to law school. I know that. I don't think she's passed the bar or anything, but he treated her with respect. He and people were criticizing him about that, and he was like, no, like her. She's a good person. She's smart. And, you know, all of the things that people accuse her of not being, President Trump stood there and defended her, accepted her, treated her, like I said, with respect and as if she were, you know, a person of knowledge of the law and everything else. And then the first chance she gets, I'm looking at World Star Hip Hop, if you're not familiar. And there she is talking about criticizing him, going public criticizing him. Sad, Kim. You're pathetic. And, you know, I bet you President Trump is inconsolable about that. Now, as quickly as President Trump can defend somebody and support them and respect them and work with them, if they come out against him, he can just as quickly rake them over the coals. And that would be funny to see for me. To see him do that with Kim Kardashian. He's not above it. I know he's the president and all, but that's why so many people love him. If you punch, he punches back. Man. If there was a beef between Trump and the Kardashians, that would be so funny. And I didn't talk about it when it happened because I'm not. If I'm going to talk about celebrities, most of the time it's just going to be to make fun of them because I think most of them are ridiculous. And in my radio career, I have met, interviewed, worked with a lot of celebrities. And I've learned through the years that I really just don't care for them much. There are a few here and there that I had a good time getting to know and all of that, but for the most part, nah. So I didn't really talk about, or I didn't talk about it at all, I don't think, the Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift engagement. But I did think that President Trump handled it so well. He said such nice things about him that he didn't have to do, because Taylor Swift has been like campaigning against him and saying stuff against him from day one, you know, because she's a lib and she's, you know, big into that world of, you know, what they call reproductive rights and all of that kind of stuff. She's all into that. And he just said, they were baiting him, trying to get him to say something funny and mocking them or something, but he didn't. He said, he's a great player. He's a good person. She's a great person, very smart, whatever he said. And I wish them all of the luck. I'm in the world. I'm happy for them. That was it. So you see, he is a gracious man. He is a nice man. Now, when you do something against him, then he fights back. He's a fight backer most of the time. But I just thought that was pretty cool. And then I didn't see anybody on the left give him any credit for it. Which he doesn't worry about that one way or the other. Now, there is somebody who is just hysterical right now Hysterical as in nuts, not hysterical as in funny. And it's that Gavin Newsom, the governor of California. He was talking about Trump, and he said, this is how over the top the Democrats have gotten, how hyperbolic they've gotten. He said, we've got to recognize that there are no limits with this guy. If he could rig next year's election, I mean, we joke about not having another election. I don't think that's a joke. He will wire this for the next 20 to 30 years. If it's a JD, it doesn't even matter. He will wire it. He also said, and this was funny, because he said, I don't think Donald Trump wants another election. I have 24 Trump 2028 hats his folks keep sending me. And then the crowd just started laughing, because that's funny. It's funny. And they were laughing, and he's like, oh, this is serious, guys. This is serious. You think when he brings foreign leaders to the Oval Office and he goes to the White House store, have you seen this? Anyone? Is it just me? And he shows them the 2028 hats. He's not being serious. Wake up. You will lose your country. This is Gavin Newsom, who is out of ways to snake himself into a different personality. So now it's just full on. Trump is trying to take away everybody's freedom. There won't even be any elections anymore. And what are people doing? Laughing at Gavin Newsom. They're laughing. His own people are laughing at him. Bah-ha-ha-ha-ha. Bah-ha-ha-ha-ha. He's a clown. He does have good hair, though. I'm going to give him that. I can always see the good in people. He's got good hair. I'm jealous of it. I would like to have it. But other than that, he's a clown. Okay. Case closed. More coming up.
It's TJ Ritchie.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.
He's America's coolest conservative. Welcome to the TJ Ritchie Show on News Talk 1110 at 99.3 WPT.
All right, come on. But I am at Adam Pye. Oh, Friday night, feeling right. We got it. Red hot smoking and no joking, baby. Okay. There's something else about the problem with the violent acts that are coming from so many who claim to have gender identity disorder. The problems, and not just with violence, let me rephrase that, not just with violence, but with the overall unhappiness and anger and all of those types of emotions that so many people, as they say, in the trans community have, is because nobody in their world tells them the truth. And somebody said earlier when we were talking about this, it's the parents' fault and all of that. Well, here's what a lot of parents have gone through. They've been told when their kid comes to them and says, I know I was born a boy, but I'm really not a boy. I'm a girl. And I need you to start calling me by the pronouns she, her, and my name now is not Charles, it's Charlie with an I. And the parents is like, what do we do? What do we do? And then they go for some help from a counselor. And then the counselor tells them, Don't you think that it would be better to have a live daughter than a dead son? Because they convinced the parents that if you don't do the procedures to change and you don't accept and consider it normal for your son to want to be your daughter, then he is going to commit suicide and it'll be your fault for not accepting it. And then they put in the media, and that becomes the just the way it is on the left, where they will say that if the people do not accept you for who you really are, your true identity, which is a girl now, if they don't accept that, then they are killing you. They speak in these dramatic, extreme terms, like saying if somebody, okay, let's say Charles's parents come in, and now he wants to go by Charlie with an I. He wants to be called Charlie Sue, let's say. And they come in, and they're talking to him and everything, and they call him Charles. That is referred to as dead naming her. They dead named Charlie Sue by calling her by her dead name, which is Charles. And that's unacceptable. That is violence, they're told. I'm not kidding you. The people on the left call that violence. Just like if somebody refused to call Caitlyn Jenner Caitlyn and still referred to him as Bruce, that's dead naming him. Now, I don't think the quote-unquote trans community would stand up for him because he's a Republican. Now, I also don't want y'all to get that mixed up either, the fact that because Caitlyn Jenner is a Republican, that he's fine with us. Because Bruce Jenner had a lot to do with this, with advancing this entire movement. Now, I know he's come out and he's against, you know, transing the kids and all of that stuff. But he had so much to do with advancing this movement quickly that it's just mind-boggling. And I say this coming from the standpoint of it's not normal, and somebody should love these people enough to tell them the truth that it's not normal and be there to support them as they get help. But the left wants to always redefine normal. It's something that they use as one of their techniques that, you know, comes from Marxism to break down every norm. There's nothing that is not normal. So if somebody says you're not normal, who are they to judge what's normal or not? This is the new normal. That's a term that I hate, new normal. Just like this article that I found a long time ago. And the headline just completely says everything. It's from some magazine with the health section. Men's cuddling group aims to redefine masculinity and heal trauma. So, this is a group of men who get together and cuddle each other. They don't make the relations with each other. They cuddle each other and they say, don't be scared. I'm here for you. Tell me about your anxiety. Tell me about the things that upset you this week. And then I'll tell you about the thing. So it's just a big group cuddle session with men. But instead of looking at it like, all right, these men are getting together to do something that is not normal, and it's definitely not masculine. What does it say? Men's cuddling group aims to redefine masculinity. It doesn't need to be redefined. Everybody knows what masculine means. A person's biological sex does not need to be redefined. Everybody knows what a biological sex is. What makes you a man and what makes you a woman? Everybody knows. It doesn't need to be redefined, but it has been redefined, and it has also been weaponized. Now, I don't think that men's cuddle groups are going to be popping up everywhere and people saying that they're normal or it's the new masculine, but I'm just saying that this is the aim. This is the goal of these people because they don't want to seem like they're weird. Who does, though? Who wants to seem like, hey, I'm a weirdo because I get together with a bunch of other men and we cuddle? That's weird, right? No, you want to make it seem like people are weird who don't think it's okay. You think it makes me feminine that I get together with men once a week and we just cuddle for about 2 hours? Do you think that's not masculine? Yeah, I would say that's not a masculine activity. Well, you just don't know because we've redefined masculinity. We're not strange. We're not abnormal. Yet one of the big tools that Marxists use is to change the language. Mark Levin talks about it all the time. You change the language. Words that have a strict, hard meaning, you change it, and then you get society to go with it, and then now you've got a breakdown. Something that was normal is now gone. Now, I don't care what you do, how masculine you are. You can be in a biker gang, busting heads every weekend, eating nails in a bar bet, bending rebar, and then eating it. You're a masculine man. But if you are in a cuddle party with a bunch of other men, then you are doing something that is not masculine. You may be masculine again the next day when you get out on your job, but while you're cuddling, you're not. No redefinition needed. No new definition. However, I looked it up, and there is a men's cuddle party not far from the studio that I might be hitting on the way home. You with me, Lonnie?
Yeah, I'm
all right. You, so we'll be there because I got a lot of stuff I need to unpack, man, out of my head. A lot of stress this week.
Hey, man, I'm here for you.
All right.
The DJ Richie Show. Radio, podcasts, and cool social media content. Get all the TJ you can handle at WBT.com/TJ. Now, back to the TJ Richie Show. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
We just played a promo. We call it in the business a promo of Vince Coakley, who is on this radio station from 10 to noon every day. And I done figured out something. You know, I like Vince Coakley. I've known him for a long, long time. And he always seems to be yelling about something in these promos and all. I mean, he's always fired up. He's yelling. Passion. He talking all passionate. And I figured it out because, I mean, all the years that I've known him and met him a long time ago, he seemed so mild-mannered and all of that. And it was because he was on TV all those years. He was an anchor for WSOC-TV. He was, the lead anchor man over there. And, being over there in a TV news situation with a bunch of liberals, he's probably the only one that wasn't a liberal. And he was wanting to yell all the time, but he couldn't because he's on TV. And the anchor man can't come on TV and be yelling and screaming. So all of that has been pent up in him. And as long as he's been on the radio now, which is several years, he still hasn't gotten it all out. I mean, because he was, as far as news anchormen go, I mean, he was great. So he had to maintain, that sense of decorum of professionalism and, all of that. I'm Vince Coakley, WSOC-TV, WSOC News, or whatever they would say, Channel 9. So now, he's got freewheeling on the radio and he's like, I am sick of the blah, blah. It's kind of scary, kind of scares me when I'm listening to him. I'm glad we got those speakers between us so he can't get to me. Woo. He's a good man though. He's a really, really good man. Love him. One of the funniest things that I have seen all week, and I'm sorry, you may not think it's funny. It may just be, a little bit of a twisted thing about my sense of humor. But there's something going on in Florida with the great Governor Ron DeSantis, who hopefully will be President Ron DeSantis someday. He's going through the state and having them paint over all of the crosswalks that are dedicated to political groups, political causes, like all of the rainbow painted sidewalks and things like our crosswalks. And the people, the liberals in Florida are losing their minds. And I saw a video that said Democrat voters have begun protesting Governor DeSantis's decision to remove rainbow painted crosswalks. And let's see, how many people is that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 people on the crosswalk chanting something, and then one person videoing them. And there's probably not a person in that crowd that is younger than 90. And, it's these are the hippies. These are the ones that started the uprising, the movements in the 60s, I'm guessing. And they just can't let it go. They're the first ones out to protest anything now. And there's actually one of them in the political theater that they perform. And she is lying on her back. It's either a she or a guy with about a D cup. And lying in the crosswalk as if she's having what they call a die-in. You know what that is, Lonnie, a die-in?
No.
That's when a bunch of liberal protesters, these morons, get out and lie in the street like they're dead. Like they're, the environment is killing everybody. And so they just go pretend like they're dead in the middle of the street or something.
I didn't know that.
And it's like as many people as they can get. So sometimes it's hundreds of people.
Wow.
It's a die-in, because that's what they do. They're just so desperate for attention and they want to be movie stars and actors and all that, but they don't have the looks to be that because liberals are not really ever good looking. So this is what these people are doing. It's quite pitiful, but it's hilarious at the same time. There's actually a lady who's in the crosswalk, but it's not a crosswalk in the middle of a city or anything. It's kind of like it's in their neighborhood. And one lady is no joke on a walker. I see some people having the assistance of canes and things like that. If you're that age, you don't have a whole lot to do. that's, you know, a fun activity that, that gets you out and active and stuff. And then they get to relive their glory days for a little bit, and they think they matter, you know. It's like, oh, we just have to show people we still matter. And this is what they choose to go out and make a fool of themselves. Because, again, the left has been told that if anybody comes along and tries to undo the crazy stuff that they've done while they were in charge, then that's violence. You know, somebody who left a bunch of skid marks on a rainbow or pride flag colors on the crosswalk gets arrested. That's hate. It's hate crime. Violence. So let's go pretend like we died in the crosswalk. This is, I guess, more symbolic of when people used to chain themselves to trees. You know, the crazy environmentalist people, they would chain themselves to a tree so it couldn't get cut down. You know what I don't understand is if it's a stranger, somebody that I don't know, so therefore I don't have a whole lot of, you know, feelings for one way or the other. If they went on a hunger strike for some reason, you know, you always hear that, oh, he's on a hunger strike. Well, okay. That's hurting him, not me. He wants to go on a hunger strike. That's his business. And why do people on a hunger strike never march in a picket line? That's what I want to see. Because, you know, when the picket line's going, like when those Hollywood writers and stuff, when they go on strike, got people like Jay Leno and some of them, they come out there bringing them pizza and all this stuff. You couldn't do that with a hunger strike picket line. Is it because they don't have the energy to be able to march in a picket line if they're doing a hunger strike like that? Now, I know some of these lawmakers, I forget where it was some state lawmakers, maybe from Tennessee or somewhere. They did a march on the Capitol in D.C. doing protesting something Trump was doing. And they talked about how they had gone for however many hours without food or water. And it was only like half a day. It was like, wait, you're acting like you've been on a 12-day hunger strike. All you did was you sat on the steps of the Capitol for a few hours without any refreshments. And who's going to break the hunger strike picket line? You know, who's going to cross that and say, look, I'm sorry, y'all, I got to have a biscuit. Who's a scab in the hunger strike? I think that would be the easiest strike to be, you know, a scab, because they don't have the energy to chase you down or to hit you with the signs or anything. You just like cross the picket line, get in there and get you a little something to eat. That's the thing. I want to see that. That should be the new normal. Picket lines for hunger strikes. I never did understand that, though. How does the hunger strike end? Is it usually the person, somebody giving in to their demands, and then they go, okay, well, you gave me what I want. Now I'll eat. Is that the way that works? Or do they come around and go, all right, strike's over, I gotta eat. Let me get a smash burger. No onion. And if you're on a hunger strike and you're negotiating with somebody, once you come to an agreement, do you then have, do they go get you whatever you want to eat, or you have to just say, all right, well, what you got to munch on tied me over till I can get somewhere?
I'm already over the picket line, man.
You got any, just like, You got some Tic Tacs or something. I'll take that. Now, when I say I'm starving, I mean I am starving. All right, so have a good holiday weekend. Enjoy your time off if you get any. And thank you for listening. Mark Levin's up next. God loves you. Ain't nothing you can do about it. Bye.
Hear the TJ Ritchie Show every weeknight at 7 Eastern. Stream it live at tjritchie.com or listen later as a podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or my media center at tjritchie.com. You'll be so glad you did, hopefully. That's tjritchie.com.